Author's notes. Disclaimer, I do not own Naruto, but I should have owned the Slap Shop. Damn. Copyright first come, first serve laws. I swear, the kids were going to love my nuts. Chapter 7. Have Blade. We'll travel. It was a two-day excursion moving at the fastest speed that Team 10 could collectively muster to get them from the side of the country they were on all the way to the other side, where they were meant to head over to. A message from Konoha to Asuma and his team informed them that they were needed to head to the Land of Waves to provide assistance to another squad of Genin, along with their Jonin-sensei, that were in over their heads. Despite cutting a very good pace to make it to the coast, that was where they ran into a problem, as getting to the mainland from to the island nation would prove to be rather bothersome in and of itself, as seemingly no ships were making their way to or from the country. Ino had a hand on her hip as the three Genin of the squad took rest in a port town at the border of the Land of Fire. She looked out at the ocean where she could barely see the outlying island at the outer limits of the horizon. How did anybody get there in the first place? What are we supposed to do if we can't reach the place we're supposed to go? Are we just going to fail our mission? Off on a technicality? Naruto was sitting on the edge of a nearby wharf, kicking his legs over the edge, looking at the ocean. He'd never seen it up close. It was great. Asuma's handling it, Ino. All we can do right now is wait for him. Yeah, Ino, Shikamaru said, laying down in a pile of thick rope as makeshift bedding. Asuma's a Jonin. They're supposed to be experts in every aspect of shinobi life. I'm sure he can find a way to get to the Land of Waves sooner rather than later. Till then, just chill out and rest up. No doubt, whatever we end up doing, once we get there, it's going to be troublesome. Ino rolled her eyes and walked over to the pineapple hairstyled Genin and poked him with her toe. Shikamaru, rolling out of bed this morning and putting on shoes was troublesome for you. Shikamaru closed his eyes and yawned a yawn. That doesn't mean I'm wrong, though, does it? Ino looked at him, twitching with an eye before giving up on him and turning back to Naruto, who for some reason was doing push-ups. Naruto, what are you doing? She asked him. Naruto didn't stop him. I'm bored to death here, you know. You should be resting. We ran all the way here. She was trying to convince him to stop for a moment to save some energy. What's going to happen if we run into trouble? When we run into trouble, Shikamaru cut him blithely. Right, Ino said, acknowledging the fact that he was more than likely right about that. What's going to happen when we run into trouble and we have to fight? You'll be all tired. Nope, Naruto said. I'm A-okay. Push-ups never make me feel tired. I might as well do something while we wait. At least I'll be all warmed up when it's time to actually fight, right? Ino shook her head at his answer and plopped down on the edge of the wharf, much like Naruto had done before, her hand with a sigh. What's the matter, Ino? Naruto asked, looking slightly concerned. You look upset. Ino panned her eyes over to him, knowing they'd stopped with his random exercise so he could listen to her. Why did it have to be us that had to go? There had to be a squad with more experience that could have been sent. Naruto stood back up and dusted himself off. Come on, Ino, you were one of the best in our class. Are you saying you can't handle it? And Shikamaru's smart, really smart, like he's scary smart. Besides, we got Asuma with us and a whole nother team. We should be fine. Ino smiled at his attempt to make her feel better about the situation. And what about you, Naruto? You talked about us, but you didn't say anything about yourself. What do you bring to the team? Naruto stared at her for a moment before rubbing the back of his neck sheepishly. One-man radar and human meat shield? Ino gave him a deadpan look in response. That's not really funny, Naruto. That better not be how you really see yourself. You're the only one out of us that's good at actually attacking. With your shadow clones and that taijutsu of yours, I think you're the strongest genin of the team. Shikamaru spoke over from where he was laying down. Ino's right, Naruto. In an active battle, you're the only one of us that can guaranteed beat their opponent single-handedly. Ino's jutsu puts her at a disadvantage in case she misses. My jutsu is good for trapping, and I have to find other ways to beat people. Without you, this team, we'd just be sitting ducks. You and your clones can watch Ino's body when she uses her jutsu, and you can finish people off that I get with my jutsu. Ino lightly slapped his leg and grinned at him. You're a teammate, Naruto, so stop it with the fluctuating self-esteem. Sometimes you think you're the baddest genin in the land. Other times you think you shouldn't even graduate. You need to go into your head and get you all sorted out, she said jokingly. Naruto rolled his eyes, but returned to smile. Hey, you don't want to do that. Uruka-sensei said my mind is a scary place. That's because he saw your grades in school, she quipped, right back at him, jokingly raising her hands in a seal needed to fire her mind-body switch. Get ready to black out for a few minutes, Naruto. I'll kick you awake when I'm done with your body. Naruto started bouncing on his toes. You'll have to hit me with it first, he gloated in a challenging manner. Ino winked at him. From this range, I barely have to aim. Shikamaru, watch my body, would you? All right, that's enough, Asuma said sternly as he made his way back over to the group. Stop playing with your jutsu. Those are meant for serious work. There was no humor or anything in his voice. Naruto looked at Asuma strangely. Asuma-sensei, yesterday Shikamaru took control of me with his shadow and made me slap myself. You laughed so hard you swallowed your cigarette. What's the change between now and yesterday? Now, he could put this that wouldn't tip them off that something being wrong with Naruto's psyche. Asuma quickly rattled off the answer. We can't get to the land of waves by normal means. When over a year ago, there was no problem doing so. That has to mean things are rather suspicious either here or there. And I'd rather be the enemy that may or may not be watching know what you can do because you decided to play with your jutsu while you were bored. He was almost cringing in his response. That excuse was flimsy at best, and he knew it. Hopefully they wouldn't call him on it if he had a serious enough look on his face. And they didn't. Sorry, Asuma-sensei. Naruto, Ino said in union. Still, in his head, he needed to come up with something better. That excuse would only work for the duration of this mission. He might not come up with another one if they decide to mess around like that again. The last place he wanted was Ino crawling around in Naruto's head, lest she come across a dark secret, one that could potentially tear her mind asunder. Shikamaru gave Asuma a long, hard look for being so strange about Ino using her jutsu. He placed in the back of his mind for later and spoke up. So, do you have a way for us to get over there, or are we landlocked and have to go home? Because I'm completely cool with going home. Asuma sighed at Shikamaru's expected attitude. Remember, Shikamaru, there's always a way to get anywhere no matter what, and it's called money. We're going to pay someone with a boat to take us across, but we're going to need to get some money fast. They want way more than what I have on me to make the trip. How much? Naruto asked. Asuma scratched his nose. 30,000 Ryo. Naruto and Ino stared at Asuma blankly after hearing the amount of money they need to gain passage to the land of waves. What? Both of them exclaimed simultaneously. Asuma getting Asuma to clean out his ears after hearing both loud blondes shout at him. Yeah, Asuma said when the ringing stopped. Apparently, there's some sort of blockade around the land of waves. Ships trying to get on the island have to pay a steep tax to get in. Apparently, it's orchestrated by some powerful shipping magnate named Gato. He's got control of the land of waves trade routes, so unless we actually pay for passage aboard a ship and extra that's needed to actually get there, not to mention the amount they need to pay to actually be allowed to leave. How the hell are we going to get 300,000 Ryo? Ino asked angrily. We're kids. A month's worth of D-ranks doesn't top out at 300,000 for all four of us combined. It barely tops out at over 100,000. Shikamaru sat up from where he'd been laying down and began thinking while Ino fumed out the situation. Naruto stared at his frog wallet sadly. Hey, Shikamaru said, getting everyone's attention. I think I have an idea. Everyone moved over towards him. Naruto, how long do you think your shadow clones can hold a henge? 12 hours later, Land of Waves. As night had fallen, from a distance on the outskirts of the port town in the land of waves, Team 10 watched the ship they had taken to the island nation disembark back on the mainland hastily. They'd slipped off the ship unseen while Gato's harbor patrol had gone on the ship and collected the money from the captain. Instead of a patrol, they looked more like a bunch of thugs. Damn good plan, Shikamaru, and good work, Naruto, Asuma said to the lazy Genin and the orange aficionado as he patted the nearby spiky blonde head of Naruto for a job well done. So, when do you think those shadow clones of yours will dispel? Naruto started counting on his fingers. I don't know. I can hold a henge for like a week straight if no one makes me break it. And I had to split my chakra evenly to make one shadow clone. The longest I've ever had one out was 4 days straight. And I just had it doing odd jobs, cleaning my house, studying some notes, and some just useless stuff that didn't take chakra, and I just let it be. I blacked out when I dispelled it, though. Ino snapped her fingers and pointed at him. Oh, yeah, that was the day you didn't show up to the training field a week ago, wasn't it? Naruto nodded. But these ones are holding hands, so I don't know, he let out a sigh. I made a bunch, and they're still holding out, so we don't get busted. I'm going to black out again when they go, though. I know it. Just so we can get to where we need to go fast before I do. How many did you make? Ino asked. Naruto counted on his fingers. I made enough to put in that sack increments of 5,000 ryo, so I made 20. Shikamaru shut his eyes to think. One clone can last 4 days doing nothing. Naruto himself can hold a henge for a week himself. He made 20 clones all henged. A clone can last almost a day and a half before they dispel if nothing happens. And we're on that boat for 12 hours, so I would say they have at least another 24 hours before they fade. And by then, everything should be good. The boat will be back in the land of fire. The henge clones should be placed with other forms of money where they can disappear. And with any luck, it will all be assumed that someone in the organization took the money, Asuma said, wrapping it all up. All right, then. That's plenty of time for us to find the team we're meant to assist so we can get a full breadth of the situation. Shikamaru took it upon himself to ask the question everybody neglected to ask thus far. Who are we here to help? And what are we even doing in this country in the first place to help him out? All valid questions, Asuma said. He's led his team along, away from the village. He sparked a cigarette as Naruto, Ino, and Shikamaru looked at him expecting. That I will answer once we get to where the team is shacked up at. We hate you, Asuma, sensei. All three of the younger ninjas said in unison as they followed behind him with the dry looks on their faces. Asuma exhaled a plume of smoke and walked along with a smile on his face. Ah, the sounds of teamwork. Such a beautiful thing, he said, breaking out to a run, prompting his team to follow swiftly behind him. 2 hours later. Knock, knock. Coming. Knock at the door garnered the attention of a beautiful dark-haired woman that made to open the door before being stopped by Sasuke, who pulled out a kunai and went to answer it instead. Opening the door, keeping his weapon hidden from view, Sasuke saw three of the students from his class that graduated along with a larger bearded man with a cigarette in his mouth, and a vest much like his sensei's. You must be Kakashi's student, Sasuke Uchiha, right? Asuma said, blowing smoke at Sasuke as he did. Intentionally or not, he couldn't tell. Sasuke held back a cough and waved the smoke out of his face. Yeah, and I guess you guys are the team Kakashi sent for to help us, right? Asuma nodded. Correct, kid. Team 10 at your service. Sasuke looked back at the woman inside the house, just for her to let her know everything was okay. At that point, she came to the door and greeted the new arrivals with a warm smile. Hello, my name is Tsunami. You must be the group of ninjas that sent to help protect the others from my father. She bowed to them. Asuma smiled at the woman. Well, I am Asuma Sarutobi. He pointed at the kids behind him. Lazy looking boy is Nara Shikamaru. Blonde girl's Ino Yamanaka. The blonde boy in orange is Naruto Uzumaki. Naruto waved half-heartedly. Ino smiled brightly at her. Naruto gave her a grin, although the thing about him that got her attention was the thing she saw holding his mouth, trying to light it at the same time. Well, it's nice to meet you all, she said, pointing at Naruto and Asuma. But I don't allow smoking in my house. I'm sorry. Naruto blinked before looking at her with puppy dog eyes. He hadn't had one in days, and he hadn't even taken a puff yet. He thought he deserved one after single-handedly paying their fairy with his chakra. Couldn't he at least imbibe a bit before he blacked out with a monster headache in a few hours? Tsunami refused to budge on the matter due to the unchanging expression on her face, and Naruto dropped the cigarette with a sigh, putting it out under his foot. Asuma did the same, only with more hesitation. But upon doing so, they were invited inside. Sasuke stood off the side as they all came in. Tsunami closed the door behind him. She looked at everyone past him, uninterested, until Ino walked past him. Hello, Sasuke-kun. I missed you all this time, she said, getting a roll of the eyes out of the stove again. Apparently, Naruto wasn't the only one who had sensor capabilities, because when Ino said that, Naruto could have sworn Sakura did too, when she yelled down the stairs before she was even seen. Leave Sasuke alone, Ino pig. He was doing just fine before you shoved your snout into the house. How could I shove my snout into the hat, into anything when your massive forehead's already filling up the place? Ino yelled back. I know Sasuke kind of sick of your company after 2 months. Now he can spend time with a real Kunoichi. Naruto looked at Tsunami as the two female ninja began squabbling over Sasuke. Looked like he'd rather be anywhere but there. Do you have anything blunt to hit one of them with? He asked dryly. Because if not, we're going to be here all night. Ino turned to Naruto, ignoring Sakurafuma. Naruto, you wouldn't really hit me, would you? Naruto shrugged vapidly. I've already done it before. Those were spars, Ino sent back to him. Seeing him turn away mumbling, so, made Ino smirk in victory. Now where were we, forehead? She asked, about to start up a whole new series of insults between herself and Sakura. All right, enough, Asuma cut in, getting sighs of relief from Naruto, Shikamaru, and even Sasuke. Where's Kakashi? We still need to understand the severity of the situation. I want to hear it from him. Sakura looked at the Jonin she failed to notice during her spat with Ino and got herself together. Kakashi-sensei is upstairs with Choji. He has chakra exhaustion from the battles. Naruto looked over at Sasuke. You guys fought? Who'd you fight? Sasuke shoved his hands in his pockets and walked upstairs, clear that was where the group was heading. A Jonin. 30 minutes later, Naruto, Ino, and Shikamaru stared blankly at Team 7 with their jaws slacked at what they had just heard. Everything was clear and simple when they were told of the mission to protect Tazuna the Bridge Builder. They were still along for the ride when they were told about being attacked by two Chunin demons called the Demon Brothers. They were somewhat lost when they were told that a Momochi Zabuza, a high-class Jonin missing nin, was next to attack them. But hearing how the battle played out somewhat assuaged how they were feeling. But a combination of everything heard beforehand, along with the amassed knowledge they continued to be given, as well as the full scope of the situation, hit them rather abruptly. Long silence was broken when Shikamaru spoke. So, you're telling me we ran all the way across an entire country, scammed our way onto a ship to get here. We can't even leave now until this bridge is built because the blockade of trade routes are locked down tight. Not from Choji and Sakura was the response. Ino spoke next. And you got through fighting two Chunin and one Jonin that you thought you killed, but he got away because somebody was able to pose as a hunter nin and actually fool your Jonin sensei into thinking the Jonin was dead. Got away with him to let him rest up to go for the next go around. Naruto finished it up for them once Ino's question got a response with another set of nods. And in addition to that, the one orchestrating all this is one of the richest men in the entire world, and he actually has the Land of Waves under his heel and has full control of the country. Not only that, but he heals anyone opposing him, and that includes the guy you're here to protect because the bridge would ruin his hold on the nation. And again, another nod from Sakura and Choji. I see, Ino said, before turning to Asuma with anime tears running down her face. Asuma-sensei, can we go home? She asked, getting a face full out of Naruto and sprung to his feet swiftly after. No way, Ino. If Choji, Sakura, and Sasuke didn't cut out and leave after they knew what they were into, we can't just leave. We pulled one over on that Gato guy and his thugs when we got here before, and we even knew what was going on. We can do this. It's a Jonin, Naruto. A Jonin and a hunter, Ino said, not feeling too good about this whole thing. Naruto pointed over at Asuma and the downed Kakashi. We have two Jonin and the rest of us. Ino found herself somewhat on the losing end of reasoning, but did not let the matter die. If this Gato guy has enough clout to control the country, he has to have a lot of people working for him to enforce his rule. That's an army, Naruto. Shikamaru scoffed and pointed at Naruto, who grinned and waved at her. He's an army, Ino, he said, getting some confused looks from Team 7. And he's right. We can do this. We just need to know what they know so we can be ready for the next time around. Well, yes, Kakashi said, so looking rather haggled from his battle with Zabuza. Exactly. There isn't much we can do with us knowing nothing of where Zabuza is and where Gato is. If we want to get drastic. However, there is one thing we can do that will help us. The Genin all looked at Kakashi expectantly, getting Asuma to chuckle. Kakashi's right, though. It's one of my students' least favorite words. We're going to train you kids up for next time. Gato's headquarters. A man walked into Gato's office with a serious look on his face. A small businessman in a suit with diminutive sunglasses, sat at his desk, flanked on both sides by two bodyguards. One, a young man with white hair, marks under his eyes, a dark purple hat on his head, and a blue hooded jacket. The other one was a shirtless man with brown hair, an eye patch, tattoos on his body, and a few scars to go with them. Both of them were in possession of a katana to go with their bodyguard status. The man stopped in the front of the desk and started speaking.
"Boss, our boys got some information from the ship that stopped here earlier today and left right after. Two of them disembarked and ended up telling us that a team of ninja got off of their ship. We never saw them, but they are ninja. So I figured it was worth telling you." Gato let out a growl. "What? Why are they coming out of the woodwork now?" he said in a seething voice. "That whelp Zabuzon better get it together and get his ass in gear. I'm not paying him anyway. But he doesn't know that. And I expect him to get the job done." The man spoke to Gato again. "Apparently there were three of them. Three of them were just kids." Gato lifted his right arm to reveal a cast. "Zabuza had a kid with him too. And the little bitch did this. But you might have a point. A few kids can't take an entire contingent of my soldiers."
The great little man smirked and laughed to himself.
"Something to think on, I guess."
The next day, a forest surrounding Tazuna's house.
"All right, kids," Kakashi said brightly from his place, standing on crutches next to Asuma. "Today we'll be teaching you all a very important skill that every shinobi learns over the course of their career. Early on, like the rest of you are now." Asuma had a grin on his face.
"I was looking forward to teaching this." Then he gave a light glare to Naruto. "One of you tried taking my fun away already learning this." He then grinned again. "But Kakashi is somehow making up for it by replacing him with three of his own genin for my demented amusement." Kakashi gave Asuma an eye smile. "I'm so glad I can make your day, Asuma." He turned his attention back to the genin. "But you will all be learning how to climb trees."
Naruto raised his hand. "Yo, Kakashi-sensei. Asuma-sensei, I can already do this."
Sakura nodded in agreement.
"Yeah, we all know how to climb trees. How is this training, Kakashi-sensei?" she asked curiously.
Shaking his head at the pink girl, Naruto spoke again.
"No, you guys can. I can, though," he said, getting a tick mark to form on Sakura's head due to how he made the rest of them sound. "We can all climb trees, Naruto," she said, fuming. "What do you think you're trying to say, idiot?"
Sakura's inner personality roared inside her psyche.
"You might get the concept, Naruto," Asuma interjected, trying to save his genin from a furious fisticuff, courtesy of Sakura. "But the way this exercise is done is to accentuate the most difficult way you can possibly generate chakra throughout your body. You might have worked it out for your hands, but elsewhere would be a different story."
Naruto looked between Asuma and Kakashi repeatedly before sighing and moving between them, pushing them aside to walk towards a tree. That was where all the normal stuff ended. Because Naruto started walking straight up the tree with a dull expression on his face. He then walked down and got back in the lineup with the others, who were looking at him oddly. He ignored them for a moment and then looked at Asuma.
"I learned how to do this from my taijutsu scroll because I needed to make my taijutsu style more effective when I grab someone like you. Well, I had to learn how to do it on every single part of my body because I have some moves that need me to keep a hold with other parts of my body that make me harder to shake off." "You can do this," Kakashi asked. Naruto shrugged. "In my sleep." He then took note of the stares he was getting from the others. "What?
Since when could you do that?" Choji asked, remembering Naruto having trouble with, everything in the academy.
He and Shikamaru never really talked about training when they hung out. He found it too troublesome.
"3 weeks? At first I thought it was something cool that only I could do since I'm learning the style, but I found out it wasn't from Asuma-sensei during the last mission," Naruto responded with a grin.
Asked a question next. "You never did that when we were training, Naruto. Not even during spars. You didn't stick to anything."
In response, he rubbed the back of the neck sheepishly. "Well, I could get enough grip on my own during spars. Using chakra to stick would have been overkill. And using my feet for moves I'm talking about, those moves aren't as nice as the things you'd normally see me do. They aren't sparring moves. Besides, when did I ever need to walk up a tree for anything?" Just for kicks, he walked over to the same street and started walking in circles.
"Yep, this sure came up again and again while we were doing that babysitting mission," he said sarcastically.
"Right," Kakashi chimed in. "Well, you just saw Naruto do it. You need to channel chakra to your feet and make your way up the tree. You might want a running start when you do it, though, so momentum will help you when you start off."
The two Jonin throw 5 kunai at their students' feet.
Use those to mark your place, and try to beat it each time. All the genin, except Naruto, picked up their respective weapons and took off at the tree. Sasuke made it to his first and took a few steps up the tree before the bark exploded under his feet, forcing him to do a backflip off and land on his feet before he fell. Choji's attempt was 7 steps up the tree before tumbling down and rolling back, ending with him sitting and looking up the tree. Ino was feeling good about herself. As she continued putting one foot in front of the other, she climbed up the tree. The first branch was well within her sight, and she reached out for it. Lost her concentration and wound up falling back to the ground, upset enough to kick the tree, which ended with her hurting herself and hopping on one foot, cursing the tree. "Hey, this is easy," Sakura said as she sat on a high branch overlooking the others. Naruto looked up at her and whistled. "Wow, Sakura-chan, first try. Took me a few days to actually get it. With clones," he added to himself mentally, actually really impressed with her after speaking out loud. "Good job." Sakura held up a V sign stuck out her tongue before turning to Sasuke. "How was that, Sasuke-kun?" "Well, it looks like my team's own Kunoichi is the first one to get this exercise," Kakashi said with amusement. "Maybe someone isn't working hard enough for me to warrant going back to the house to pick them up lunch for them." Choji let out a horrified gasp and jumped to his feet to keep working. "And maybe the Uchiha clan isn't all it's cracked up to be." Sasuke glared at where Sakura was before going back to striking it. Sakura looked at Kakashi incredulously. "What? Now he's gonna hate me. You talk too much, Kakashi-sensei." Shikamaru didn't immediately take off like the others. Instead, he sat and watched the others take a few tries. Ino took 2 more tries before getting it along with Sakura, who took another trip up. The two girls glared and started jawing with one another once again. Choji kept at his work with determined effort to show Kakashi he was trying hard enough to get lunch later, but he kept smashing the tree before getting very far. He then looked at Sasuke, who seemed to have the same idea, as he analyzed what was going on. "So if I use too much chakra, I'll end up being pushed off the tree like Choji and Sasuke. Is there a certain amount I need to generate? Do I need to generate a consistent amount and keep it? Troublesome. I need to figure this out and tell Choji." Naruto let out a yawn as he stood watching everyone. He thought of joining it, but him running up and down the trees repeatedly would have just wound up pissing everyone else off. And there wasn't really anything he could get out of it. Anyway, he placed his hands behind his head and began pacing about in a bored manner, getting Asuma's attention. "Naruto, do you have anything you're working on that you could be doing right now?" He looked at Asuma and blinked, surprised at being called out before shaking his head. Asuma made a thoughtful noise. "And you said you got this exercise down pat." Naruto nodded with a grin, jumped to the tree before sticking to it back first. After a few seconds, he dropped onto his feet and rubbed the back of his head, seeing how he had smashed into the trunk when he was trying to be facetious. "Okay, smartass, I get it," he said with a chuckle. He turned to Kakashi. "I'm going to take Naruto off somewhere to work on something so he doesn't waste his time here." "All right, Asuma," Kakashi said, pulling out his orange Ichi-Ichi book. "I got things here in the meantime." The others watched Naruto walk away, with Naruto in tow for a moment before getting back to work. Sasuke's eyes lingered on him the longest before turning back to the tree and continuing to train, gritting his teeth determinedly. "I'm not going to fail and be left behind," he said to himself in an effort to get himself to step it up. Asuma led Naruto to the dock out front of Tazuna's house and stopped at the edge of the water. Naruto simply stared at the water and then at Asuma, waiting for the man to do something or explain something to him. Eventually, Asuma dramatically placed one foot out, getting Naruto's full attention. Not that the boy was saying anything, but his eyes were clearly interested in seeing something awesome or something hilarious. The jonin stepped off the dock, but instead of a loud splash, followed by Naruto rolling on the dock, laughing as hard as he could, Asuma was standing on top of the surface of the water, as if he were still on land. He took a few steps out before turning back to Naruto, making a grand gesture. "Well, how?" Naruto asked squeakily. Asuma quickly explained. "Channel chakra into your feet as if you're walking up a tree and go for it. But the amount you have to use to stay up will change consistently, making it harder than tree climbing. Get to it." Naruto nodded excitedly and did as instructed before falling in the water. Asuma broke into laughter. "Oh, Kami, it would have been funnier if I had them all do it at the same time. But this is why Jonin choose to become sensei. The precious moments like this." Naruto surfaced and pulled himself back on the deck, sitting on the edge and staring at Asuma while dripping wet, clothes drenched. Naruto opened up and closed his mouth multiple times, trying to think of something to say before giving up. "Well, son of a bitch," his eyes widened as he patted around his box before pulling out a drenched pack of cigarettes. "Son of a bitch," he looked at Asuma. "Asuma-sensei? No smoking while you're training, Naruto," he said, walking back towards the shore. Once he reached the dock, he ruffled Naruto's soaked hair. "Well, get to it. Oh, and you can send some clothes to check on Ino and Shikamaru while I go with Tazuna today. I don't really want Kakashi's lazy streak to keep them from getting the finer points of the training down. Actually, one clone should be good.
Naruto nods, stood up, forming the seal for the shadow clones, making one of them appear in a puff of smoke. Naruto stood still after making the clone before it dispelled and fell backwards into the water, almost into the water. Asuma moved swiftly, but caught him before he could fall into the water and potentially drown. "What happened?" he asked before stopping himself. "As he remembered yesterday."
"Wow, those clones sure lasted a long time." He picked Naruto up and took him inside the house. The entire scene was witnessed from a window in the house overlooking the ocean by a small boy in green overalls and a white, blue-striped bucket hat.
Hours later.
"Ow," Naruto whined, sitting up on a couch in the living room. "Why the hell does the backlash suck so much?" he asked himself, only noticed a small boy standing in front of him, looking at him rather angrily. "Hello? You're gonna die here, you know," he said matter-of-factly. Naruto just stared at the kid in shock before speaking. "I don't think so. I just got hit with too much information at once and kind of scrambled my brains for a bit. If I can get an aspirin, I should be fine. It's no big deal."
The boy glared at the young shinobi, grew more intense.
"No, you idiot. Gato's going to kill you guys. You and all those other people that came here," he said, as if it were a fact, as if it had already happened.
Naruto just looked at the kid with a twitching eye before noticing himself covered in a blanket in his boxers.
"Damn, not cool." He stood up, keeping himself covered. "Okay, whatever. I'm going to go ask your mom if she has anything for my head so I can train."
He walked into the kitchen, seeing Tsunami sitting at the table looking at the window.
"Excuse me, ma'am, do you have an aspirin? Are you telling me where my clothes are?"
She looked at Naruto and smiled warmly.
"Of course, dear. I'm sorry about Inari. He was like that to the others, too. I just don't know what to do," she said, quickly moving to a cabinet, retrieving two pills she handed Naruto.
"Here you go. Your clothes are outside drying. They should be done by now. Let me get you a glass of water." Naruto accepted the pills with a grateful smile. Man, no adult was ever this cool to him in Konoha.
"Yeah, that's okay. I don't need water," he said before quickly downing the pills and heading out where he saw his stuff hanging up.
His sandals on the ground underneath them. He reached for his clothes before looking back at the ocean.
"Meh, I might as well stay like this. I'll just end up messing up my clothes again." He immediately hopped off the wharf and attempted the same process the first time before dropping the water again.
Tsunami heard the splash and came outside to see Naruto pulling himself out of the ocean.
"Are you okay?" she asked.
Naruto spat out a mouthful of speed water and gave her a thumbs up.
"Yep, I'm good. Just training to walk on water," he said before making another attempt,
actually staying up for a while quite some time before. "Gah!" he shouted before going under once more, this time getting out with a growl.
"Are you sure this is possible?" Tsunami asked, not knowing much about what it is ninja did regularly and how they went about doing them.
Naruto nodded.
"Oh yeah, don't worry. I'll definitely get it soon. I gotta get stronger to make sure your father's safe after all, don't I?"
He gave her a wide grin that she couldn't help but return. Naruto wound up steadying himself and taking a step after step onto the water. He finally turned around and found that he made it over 50 feet on the docks.
"You see, I told you I could do it," he shouted back at her.
Now that his head was no longer ringing from his dispelled clones. Tsunami looked at him with amusement, clapped for his achievement.
"Good job, Naruto-kun,"
she said before noticing a strange black mark on his torso.
"Naruto-kun, what's that mark on his stomach?"
Naruto blinked in confusion in his stomach. He wasn't experienced with his water walking yet and fell in the water. He swam back to shore, sprawled out on the deck before looking at Tsunami panicking.
"What was that you were saying?" he asked.
Tsunami was about to repeat what she asked, but she looked at Naruto's belly and saw that there was nothing there anymore.
"Oh, never mind. I'm sorry about that," she said apologetically.
She messed up his training for something she didn't even see.
"Oh, it's all right," Naruto said, sitting back and pushing the water out of his ear.
"I got it. And that's all that matters. All I have to do now is get used to fighting on the water, like I can on walls. There's only one way to do that now." He stood still and made 40 shadow clones before they all went onto the water, ignoring how shocked Tsunami was seeing at all the those blondes appearing out of thin air. Naruto was still shaky, but he was out there. There's only one way to solve that problem about a steadiness on the water. Naruto stared at his grinning clones, who were all stretching, trying to punk him with their confident faces.
"So come on, all of you. Let's do this."
That shout was the last precursor before Naruto's clones commenced crawling atop the seawater. Naruto watched as Naruto set himself in his low, sticky fist stance, while three clones came at him. The first of the three quickly grabbed onto Naruto, using their superior numbers to disorient him for the time being. It grabbed Naruto's right arm and worked it behind his back, trying to garner a joint lock and quickly disable him somehow. Naruto switched his dominant leg and spun around, freeing his arm, delivering a back elbow straight to the face of his clone, dispelling it with a puff of smoke. Another clone came
through the smoke screen caused by his defeated brother and left at Naruto, attempting to wrap him up and leave him a sitting duck for the other clones to come in and pummel him. Naruto moved to the side and let his clone miss, instead having it jump through the surface of the water, the impact disrupting his footing. He drops an ankle into the water, leaving him wide open for one of the other clones to land a hard punch in his face. Naruto grit his teeth, taking the punch cleanly, and shot a headbutt into the body of the offending clone. Not hard enough to dispel, but hard enough to disrupt his strategy, giving him time to regain his footing and hit a cross-arm chop to his clone's throat, dispelling it. He didn't see the other clone that he'd forced on the water, but he did see the others he made standing off to the side, none of them moving to replace the ones he'd beaten. Naruto released a pulse of his Sonarjutsu, sensing something close below the water. Jumped just high enough to avoid a pair of hands reaching up to grab him from below. Naruto stomped hard on the water, driving his feet through the surface and delivering a harsh stomp to the face of his sneaky clone. Finishing off, he sighed to himself before he looked up and saw five clones of the mass he made walking out to fight him this time. Hours later, the exhausted members of Team 7 and remnants of Team 10 came out of the forest on their way back to the house along with Kakashi, only to see an, at the time for them, surreal sight, Naruto in a fight with himself, with five of himself. That didn't surprise Team 10 at all. They knew he could do that. Team 7, on the other hand, had no clue. "Why is Naruto doing that with the clone jutsu?" Sakura asked rhetorically, not expecting a legitimate answer. "Those aren't regular clones," Kakashi said. "Those are shadow clones. Clones like the ones Zabuza used. Only they're full-on copies of the original. It can use jutsu, bleed, and all kinds of other things. He's sparring with them." "Never mind that. He does that all the time," Ino said, fully used to Naruto's signature jutsu by now. "Look at where he's doing it. He can stand on the surface of water." "Huh," Kakashi said, sounding mildly disinterested. "Asuma must have shown him this exercise after they left. He picked it up very quickly, I have to say. To be able to engage on battle on the water after just a few hours, well, that's still beyond most of you at the moment. Tree walking comes first. Then you can possibly think about trying to this exercise," he finished as he made his way back towards the house. The others watched Naruto as he finished off the last of his clones. Naruto had the clone face down the water, pulling its arms back, holding its head under the water with his heel on its head while it finally struggled against him. The original grit his teeth and did not let up, despite his clone thrashing to free itself. Finally, the clone popped, and Naruto slumped weakly on the water, panting heavily and rubbing his throat. "Okay, I'm never doing that to any of my clones again. Drowning isn't cool at all." He slowly walked his way back to shore and fell out face first on the dock as the others walked up to them on the edge of the forest. "Hey, guys." Ino kneeled by him. "Are you all right? You sound half dead." Naruto let out a weak, unintelligible groan before speaking. "My clones, we used to get here popped. I blacked out. Then I came out here and did this for the rest of the day. Again and again and again. I wonder what I'm going to do tomorrow. So, how'd you, all of you guys do?" Sakura smirked. "Ino Pig and I have it down perfectly. After she saw me get it first, of course." Ino only growled at Sakura, who continued. "Sasuke-kun and Choji are getting it, but Shikamaru, I don't know if he has it or not. He only did it a few times and then went to sit down." Naruto moved his head to look at Shikamaru, who stared right back with a bored look on his face. "Of course he did. Can someone help me stand up?" Ino and Choji both slung one of his arms over their shoulders and picked him up per his request. Ino grunted as she picked up Naruto's. "Why do you just have your boxers on?" she asked, sounding somewhat dismayed at having to touch him like that. Naruto rolled his eyes. "Because I had to fall into the water like 100 times today. My clothes would have wound up getting soaked, Ino. But when you learn it, you can wear all the clothes you want to. Tell me how that works out," he said jokingly, getting Ino to dig a sharp knuckle into his ribs. "Smartass," she said before changing tone. "Hey, can you teach me how to do that tomorrow?" Naruto answered with one question of his own. "Can you stand on a wall or a tree while barely even thinking about it?" She didn't really know how to answer, so he did it for her. "I'll ask Asuma Sensei tomorrow. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing tomorrow anyway." Choji spoke up. "So, you want us to put you up, Naruto?" Naruto grinned at the large part. "Oh, just put me over by the clothesline. I need to get dressed anyways. Thanks." They placed Naruto by his clothes and went inside the house while he put his stuff back on. After a moment, Naruto noticed Sasuke standing nearby. "What's wrong, Sasuke Tame?" he asked. He hadn't even said more than a few sentences to the guy since he and his team arrived. Sasuke's cold black eyes seemed to bore into Naruto. It was really starting to mess with him. This guy never even paid him half a mind in the academy before, just like most everyone else. "I want to spar with you," he said, "when I finish the tree climbing exercise." Naruto blinked once before answering. "Sure, I guess. But why would you want to spar with me?" It wasn't that he didn't want to, because he did. He wanted to fight
Sasuke since his time in the academy. When Sasuke started beating him again and again in spars, he showed less and less of an interest in fighting Naruto. He thought Sasuke didn't exactly return that sentiment, so why would he want to? Naruto smirked himself as he realized why. Sasuke thought Naruto was as strong as he was, or at least stronger than anyone else on either teams there. Now he had a chance to actually prove it to the others himself. Sasuke was widely perceived as the very best genin of this year coming out of the academy. If Naruto could beat him, it would be the best possible litmus test for how far he was developing as a shinobi. Finish the tree climbing exercise, and then we'll talk about it, Naruto said to Sasuke. But looking forward to actually going head-to-head with the boy that was on the exact opposite end of the spectrum of the academy that he was, Sasuke returned Naruto's smirk with one of his own. Whatever you say, Dobby, he said confidently. Naruto shook his head and stood up, picking up sandals instead of putting them on, as he would take them right back off once he got inside. You won't call me that after I actually beat you, Tenmei. I'll show you who the real rookie of the year is. The two of them got inside. Sasuke, Sakura's voice called out to them. Sasuke-kun, Tsunami says that the food is ready. Get Naruto and come inside. Naruto gestured towards the door, getting an amused scoff out of Sasuke, who walked back towards the house. Dinner was largely uneventful. Asuma sat away from the table, and Kakashi took his food on the couch, while the genin and the family of Tazuna all took seats at the table. Everyone only got one good helping, because though Choji was seemingly famished from his training today, he took it upon himself to hoard seconds, thirds, fourths, and etc. Naruto finished his food and gave thanks to Tsunami before turning to Asuma. So, Sensei, I can walk on water now. I can even fight on water now, too. What do I do tomorrow? Asuma looked over at Naruto and smiled at him. Those shadow clones of yours are ridiculous. You know that? He said under his breath. Naruto caught it as he nodded keenly in agreement. All right. You only have one jutsu fit for battle, and our team's muscle, so to speak. So I guess I'll show you a little something tomorrow when I go with Tazuna to work on the bridge. Naruto had a look of excitement on his face. Sakura looked at Kakashi-sensei. What about me, Kakashi-sensei, or Ino-Pig? We finished tree climbing. Asuma rubbed his beard and looked at Kakashi. Naruto can give them the water walking exercise, and they can work on that. They should get that just as quickly as they got team tree climbing. Kakashi nodded in agreement, getting a smile out of both girls. I'd better get the lion's share of pay when we get back, Kakashi. I'm doing your work for you. Kakashi shrugged. If I felt like I would be of any use, if Zabuza or anyone else showed up, I would go with you, Asuma. Thanks, though. Don't worry. I've been keeping a good eye on your students for you, he said in his characteristically dull yet chipper voice. You didn't watch me all day, Kakashi-sensei. Naruto slipped in, poking a hole in the man's statement. Actually, Naruto, Kakashi interjected, giving what everyone swore was a smile. A smile had that mask not been covering on his face to the boy. I got back before Asuma did. I saw you training at the end, so technically I did watch you while Asuma was gone. Naruto gave him a dry look, ignoring the snickers from everyone else around you. I don't think I like you too much right now, Kakashi-sensei. Kakashi's smile never dropped. Oh, don't say that. I'll grow on you soon, trust me. By now, everyone had finished, and the girls were helping Tsunami with the dishes when Sakura took notice of a picture missing a section. Hey, Tsunami, what happened to this picture? It looks like a corner is missing, like it was ripped out. Civilian family all bristled at the seemingly innocent question from the pink-haired female genin before Tazuna finally spoke. That part of the picture used to contain the image of a man this country called a hero. After hearing that, Inari stood up abruptly and ran out of the kitchen upstairs. Inari! Tsunami called after him before turning to Tazuna. Father, you know you can't talk about him around Inari. Then followed after Inari upstairs. Kakashi looked over at Tazuna, who had his head down. So I'm going to go out and get on a limb and guess there's a story there. Tazuna nodded. Would you mind letting us in on it? Tazuna took off his glasses and wiped any smudges he might have on them off. Seeing as how part of it has to do with the entire reason you're all here, I don't see why not. He took a deep breath before continuing. This is the story of the man that inspired our entire nation, a true hero of the land of ways. Everyone else in the room sat in rapt attention as the old bridge builder began his story. How to train your genin, tip 4. Don't be afraid to challenge your genin. The life of a ninja is hard, and sometimes extremely short. It is a good thing to want to keep your students safe and have them succeed at things they feel comfortable with, but how will that prepare them for true emergencies? For when they are actually needed in something important, the answer is that they won't be. You will never know how they will respond under pressure until they are actually pressured. The best way to get them ready for stressful situations and danger is to put them in stressful and dangerous situations. This can be easily accomplished. C-rank missions are a good way to get them accustomed to actual ninja work. But after that, if you think they'll reach a plateau of sorts, do not be afraid to ask for B-ranked missions. Is it dangerous? More than likely, yes, it will be. But eventually, they will be forced to fight for their lives and to brave great dangers for their comrades and villages. If done in a semi-controlled way to get them ready, you can mentor them through it, as is your job as their Jonin sensei anyway. All right, protecting your students is okay, but there is such a thing as too much of it. Trying to keep them from getting killed, ironically, may be the thing that winds up getting them killed. Trusting your team to succeed and break their own limits in doing so. If they've been prepared appropriately, they will make you proud. Author's notes. Chapter done. Now to be subjected to the haphazard thoughts that were circulating through my head while I was writing this over the course of the last 24 hours. I command you. I always wondered exactly how fast a ninja actually was in the show in conjecture of miles per hour. Now, I personally believe that Guy is the fastest ninja in the show. Naturally, I'm not counting stuff like Hiroshin or Madara's space-time move. And I'm certain that his top speed isn't something ultra-ludicrous like the speed of sound. As a matter of fact, I think his top speed is well over 100 miles per hour. I would be shocked without the gates. I believe that the fastest group of ninja in the series would move at between 80 and 100 miles per hour without weights. I would hazard a guess that because you see blur marks, all that shit indicating speed and light, but that's an anime and manga thing to that represents speed. And anyway, moving from a dead stop to right in your face, covering about 50 to 100 foot distance at that kind of speed is going to be a fucking blur no matter what. Have you ever paid attention to cars passing on the highway? That's how fast I think a ninja moves. As fast as most vehicles are prompted to go, using weights would drop his speed a good 10-20 miles per hour. But again, this is a significant jump in speed comparison when you think about it. Sorry for the spontaneous question time over. I think about random things often. Hope this is all well and good. I'll catch you all around next time. Kenshi out. P.S. Fun fact. If you've ever been close friends with a girl over 10 years and had sex with her once every blue moon since you were 16, it is not a good idea to sing the song "I Just Had Sex" by The Lonely Island featuring Akon roughly 30 seconds after you actually had sex with her, no matter how appealing and appropriate it is, especially if she can fight. And she could. I feel safe telling you all this because I will never personally meet any of you, and you won't meet her. So consider this my court-appointed public service announcement. Don't do it. I have scratches, and not fun ones, on my face now, and I had class today. It wasn't really fun explaining an angry red mark going down the side of my face all day. Have a nice day.